Hey, Dylan, thank you so much for listening to this new show here on the Sunday Night's Main Event Network. With so much wrestling around, we really rely on all of these different shows to give you the various perspective from the various promotions, not only in North America, but from around the world, including Japan. And that's why we called on friends of the show, Andre and Mel Ball Wrestling Talk, to help you with that. Andre and Mel Ball's Wrestling Talk is going to be a semi-regular show here on Sunday Night's Main Event. Really, we're going to be focusing and seeing what the Japanese schedule is looking like, but they're going to be sending in shows whenever they can, and something big is happening out in Japan. So that's Andre and Mel Ball's Wrestling Talk, where two passionate longtime fans are going to invite you to bring you into the world of Japanese wrestling. And they're going to be focusing on more than just New Japan Pro Wrestling. They're going to be focusing on the entire Japanese wrestling scene. So be sure to follow Andre and Mel Ball's Wrestling Talk on the various social medias, which you can find on the show notes. Be sure to support them in any way possible, because it means a lot for them to be contributors here on Sunday Night's Main Event. This episode of Andre and Mel Ball's Wrestling Talk is we're going to be focusing on New Japan Pro Wrestling's World Tag League semi-finals and final show. And let me tell you this, that finals, what a barn burner. What a show it was. So we're going to really want to listen to their take and see what they thought about the World Tag League semi-finals and finals. So without further ado, let's get to the show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to NJBW Puro Wrestling Review. I am your co-host, Andy C, and right next to me is the wonderful, the broken, the Taco Princess herself. It's Melball. How you doing, Melball?
I am like a taco today, a hard shell taco, brittle on the outside and falling apart on the still on the outside, I guess. Had a lot of fun with my knee at the gym today. The joys of having dislocations and a frickety-frackered body. But how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty well. Worked today. Had a good, decent day at work. Now I'm home and talking with you and talking to all our wonderful, great fans and all the fans that are hopefully joining us through audio on SNME Radio. So thank you guys all for very much for downloading this episode on the SNME Radio feed and listening to us for the first time. We really do appreciate it.
Air kisses, air kisses, air kisses.
Yeah, we do primarily do video, so there'll be times we may reference certain things, and you might get a little confusing. I'll try to describe as we go. But thank you all so much for joining us here on SNME Radio, and to everybody on Andre Melball Wrestling Talk, Backbreaker Video, and all other places that illegally stream us, I guess. We want to thank everybody for tuning in, because we appreciate all the fans we have, all the great support we have. Everything just keeps growing, and we really do appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. We really do.
I want to quick preface to everybody on SNME Radio. Myself and Melball have for about a year now been covering Japanese professional wrestling on our own channel, Andre and Melball Wrestling Talk. Mm-hmm. And we've made some deals, some partnerships with SNME Radio, and you're going to hear us now covering all the big events from Japanese professional wrestling, from New Japan Stardom, and possibly a little bit from NOAH and a couple others. We might do a pop in here and there on certain events, but mainly we cover New Japan and Stardom. So you'll be hearing us cover the big shows from both those companies. Mm-hmm. We're just both big fans of professional wrestling, especially Japanese professional wrestling, and we just want to bring our love of it to you guys.
Mm-hmm. 100% what he said.
So we are going to get into it. Oh, before we get into it, I want to thank again. I already thanked everybody. So please if you're not watching us on either Backbreaker Video or Andre Melball Wrestling Talk, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, comment down below. So we love hearing the comments from each and every one of you, and share it all out. And if you're on SNME Radio, please like the channel, subscribe to the channel, and there's ways to you can comment. You can comment by giving rating. Man, my words do not work for me tonight. By leaving reviews to on the podcast feed, catchers and everything. So do that for SNME and hit the notification bell on the YouTubes to get up to date every time we drop a new video.
Ding dong.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
It's a little late, but hello. As I record,
it's on that border time. It's on that twilight time.
Yeah. But we are here to talk this week about the World Tag League semifinals and finals. From the semifinal show, we're just going to cover the two semifinal matches, and we're going to cover the entirety of the finals show. So we are going to get into it. We're kicking it off with the semifinals on December 8th. It's El Fantasmo and Hikuleo, the Gorillas of Destiny, taking on TMDK's Mikey Nichols and Shane Hayes. Awesome match. Awesome match. I love seeing these two teams go up against each other. This was so much fun. Kind of everything I wanted in this tournament, just to see these two teams face off. I was hoping this was going to be the finals, but, you know, we'll get there. And we'll speak on our feelings about that.
Yeah, we will.
They give that new young lion the belt in ELP, like the strong titles. And he puts ELP puts his glasses on him. He looks absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, that's the point of the young lions at this stage, though, right? I mean, they all kind of skin heads, basic gear, you know.
Yeah.
Look ridiculous when the guys tell them to look ridiculous. That's what they do. Fall down when Lance Archer beats on them. Like, young lions do.
Yeah. Really good match overall. Good early contest between ELP and Haste. They end up each atomic dropping each other. And it was just like both selling it like it was the biggest move in the world. It was so good.
Very hysterical little spot there. Nudge, nudge. Pun intended.
And then we get the hysterical Mikey Nichols in with Hikuleo. And they got their power back and forth.
Hysterical.
No, that's Shane Hayes. Shit.
Mad
Mikey Nichols, sorry, in there with Hikuleo.
I was going to say, did we just miss the joke that I made?
You did, and I was trying to play off it, but I made it worse. Yeah, the back and forth with Hikuleo and Nichols was actually really good, seeing the power dynamic between the two. Every time ELP was in there with Nichols, just some of the stuff they were doing together was actually really cool. Just a couple. I'm gonna go through a couple of highlights here because again, this was a longer match, and I'm not gonna go through every little thing here. A beautiful Saito suplex by Haste at one point for two. It's just that arcing backdrop driver that he does. Looks so good. And then he applies after he only gets two. Can he applies the Gargano escape for the Johnny Gargano submission, and then turns it into a double armbar. But ELP working real hard gets to the ropes, man. TMDK hit Highway to Hell to ELP, but he kicks a two, and then ELP reverses the classic finisher of TMDK, the Thunder Valley, into a double DDT. Looks really good. I'll always love the sudden death into the choke slam. They do it to Nichols. ELP hits a suicide dive to Haste on the floor, but he misses the dive off of the shoulders of Hikuleo. Indicate both attack. ELP getting double teamed, but runs Nichols into Haste up top, takes out Nichols. ELP gets a big lariat for two, then hits the CR2, but can only get a two on Haste. GOD double team, but Haste gets a roll up out of nowhere. Hikuleo hits a snap power slam on Haste, hits the choke slam, and Gorillas of Destiny are moving on to the final.
I feel like we use this a lot to describe some matches, particularly usually with House of Torture. So it was weird to use it for this one. I really enjoyed the ride. I wasn't really happy with the outcome. And it might also be partially because I was biased to TMDK because they were my pick in this tournament, as they were yours as well when you decided
to turn. When I said screw Umino.
I mean, you weren't the only one, and we'll get to that. The match, though, phenomenal. They really worked over ELP's arm in this one. He was hurting after this. correct me if I'm wrong, I might be confusing this with the other match, but wasn't ELP in most of the match?
Mm-hmm. Both this and the finals, he was in majority.
I was going to say, it felt like he was in there the longest. Interesting. Might have a thought on that when we get to the finals. Mm-hmm. Hikaleo and ELP, I'm really liking the combination of the gear, where they're both wearing the same color, but having their own independent style, very reminiscent of how Stardom kind of does things with their factions. Really, really like that. I was really happy with how Nichols was in this match, because he wasn't, before I felt like he was trying too hard, when he has this effortless talent that he doesn't need to try so hard. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like in the, I'm getting my tournaments confused. Is it the G1 that we just saw? Whoa. Where he was doing all the headbutts on everyone?
Oh, Hinari?
Yeah. Oh,
Nichols with Nichols and Hinari headbutting in the G1. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I felt like he felt some kind of pressure in that to perform. And I feel like maybe that's it, why it was coming off a little funky for us. And then the headbutts and stuff were going on there. And it was just not what I was personally expecting out of Nichols. This match was what I expect out of Nichols, where he was just this raw, savage power and strike ability to match Hikaleo, despite how small he was in comparison with Hikaleo. I mean, everyone is, but like, at least Shane Haste is like, I think a little bit taller than Nichols and a little bit bulkier. But even so, Nichols is still the powerhouse of the duo. It's incredibly baffling, but also as the small girl usually in the group, it's like, it gives me life, because just like Ida, the smallest person in the group, because obviously Kosei Fujita and Eagles are smaller, but they're juniors, right? Mm-hmm. Nichols and Haste are heavyweights. So like, it's really cool to me to see that dynamic where Haste does have those power moves, but he is more of the aerialist and striker, whereas Nichols is like full on strike and power. I really love the dynamic of that team. So this was very disappointing for me to have them lose. And I feel like this is kind of like Aussie Open, where they get to that edge, that thing where you're like, oh, this is the match, this is it, where they're gonna finally be rewarded, and they aren't, and it sucks.
I'm not, it sucks, because TNDK is one of my favorite tag teams in New Japan right now. Mm-hmm. It sucks to not see them go to the finals, but mm-hmm. I'm okay at least we got ELP and Hiku going, who have been doing mm-hmm. a really good job as of late as a tag team, in my opinion. Because, again, okay. Hikuleo has really evolved in this last year, and his mm-hmm. partnership with ELP has really brought him to another level, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I agree. Because I was very critical of Hikuleo when he came out of his excursion. I felt he was very sheltered, particularly by Bullet Club, because that's who he was a part of at that time. And then being on the Strong brand, I didn't feel that he had any guidance over there while he was over there. So the skills that he didn't have weren't being, you know, nurtured in the way that they clearly are now. I mean, as I used to say, he would fall down just randomly, because all over his feet, he was like a newborn foal trying to stand up and run and just stumbling over himself. Now he's very sure-footed. He knows where he's going. You don't see that hesitation or that wiggle. I don't know if it's just he's bulked up, because his shoulders clearly have, or what, but he's doing something right. And this year has been that word that we've been using all year, evolution, for him.
It's not a mystery.
No. Bazinga.
I hope somebody other than you got that joke.
Somewhere someone's going, ah.
We move on to the other semifinal match. It's Abishamon, Hiroki Goto, and Yoshihashi taking on the Bullet Club War Dogs. It's Alex Coggin and Gabe Kidd. War Dogs, as usual, try to attack before the bell. It's become their staple. Bishamon gets the upper hand, though. They're brawling on the floor. Kalgan tries using a barricade to attack Hashi, but Hashi stops. Kalgan does get the back rake, dating back to ELP. Kid and Goto brawl around ring. Kid runs Goto into the barricade. Hashi runs Kalgan into a barricade. Kid and Goto do finally get in the ring and start the match. Getting the Bishamon double team early, and they get a war drums. Kalgan ends up hitting Yoshihashi from the apron. Kid bites Goto, tosses him out, and then they beat up him, and they beat up on Yoshihashi on the floor. Again, a lot of glorious chaos in this first little bit.
Glorious, glorious chaos. And it wouldn't be Bullet Club if there wasn't glorious chaos.
Yeah, a lot of good working outside the ring early on here. There's a beautiful deadlift German by Coughlin after he was choking Goto. Just the power on this dude is insane. The kid ends up tossing Goto to the floor. They end up at the top of the round, the top of the ramp. Kid brings him up there, and he goes to backdrop him, or goes to pile drive him, but Goto backdrops Kid to get out of the pile driver. And Goto just rolls back to the ring, gets in a 10. Kid doesn't get his money, but he got in at like 14 or 15. So I was like, okay, they're not doing that last second spot. That's surprising.
Mm-hmm. Really. Especially because NJPW has been loving that 19 get in.
Yeah. Kid, I don't like the biting of the forehead. Like, just you don't need to do it. It's kind of gross. Like,
you don't know where it's been.
No.
Don't you put it in your mouth.
Oh, jeez. Bishamon end up fighting back. They get the double team on Kid and hit the Russian leg sweep. Headhunter combo. Kid fights off the Shoto, and Kalgan pulls Hashi out, and Kid ends up hitting a beautiful like brainbuster suplex to Goto. The War Dogs double team him, and they Kid gets that hanging choke in the corner. War Dogs hit their own doomsday device, but the pin gets broken up. Bishamon stopped the double team. They double team Kid. He fights off Shoto. War Dogs come back in. Again, it's just really back and forth of the teams getting the advantage on one guy on the other team. Well, back and forth here. The ref gets taken out. I kind of missed when he got taken out.
I did too. The camera moved away at that point, so we didn't actually see.
Yeah, Kid gets a chair, attacks Goto with it. They try to use a ladder, but Yoshihashi and Goto, they try to use a ladder on Yoshihashi, but Goto ends up stopping them. They all brawl until everybody goes down. Yoshihashi and Kalgan are striking each other back and forth, getting into the chop exchange back and forth. Kalgan ends up catching Yoshihashi in the black hole slam, and it's like a modified Death Valley driver. It's the best I can describe it. and gets a two. Kalgan goes for a suplex on Goto. Goto stops it, and he gets a headbutt to the chest. And he headbutts the chest, and Yoshihashi gets the crucifix bomb onto Kalgan out of, like, just nowhere. And 1, 2, 3, Bishamon moves to the finals. So we're getting a champion versus champion final.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See which champion reigns supreme.
Yeah, it's interesting what they did with this final.
I'm still trying to decide if I'm happy about it or not, because realistically, we want to see the best of the company, and who better than the champions.
But true.
I got to say, we also got to go on marketability and who's popular also, and who's going to bring in more views and ticket sales too. And TMDK has a very big following. They have a huge following, but then also so does Bullet Club, surprisingly, for how chaotic they have really been, not even just in this tournament, but just in general since this faction has come out. I mean, at first I was kind of like not happy with the shenanigans that they were doing with the jumping at the beginning or the intros, but now it's actually become so refreshing because it's different, it's unique. And I feel like these guys and David Finley's Bullet Club has really reinvigorated Bullet Club and is like going to have a one hell of a year. These guys refuse to go quietly into the night. I cannot wait to see what happens with these guys, because I suspect that regardless of what happens between the finals, with the results of the finals and everything, Bishamon, what's going to happen with those IWGP Tag Team Championships is what I'm trying to get at here. I don't suspect that Bullet Club is going to let those titles go too far away from them. They're a little too savage. They're a little too vicious. And I'm not going to lie, young and trendy. These guys, and they're making a splash, not just in Japan, but they're making a splash also in North America. Gabe Kidd has been running his mouth all over the internet. Coughlin's just been looking intimidating as heck. His creepy eyes and his lat spread. And it's going to be, they may have been defeated in the semifinals here, but this is not the last we're going to hear of the Bullet Club, I think, this year. Let alone in the coming one. I don't have a whole lot to add to this. Otherwise, it'll be just forever.
Oh, I have some information at the end about what the match is coming off, what the champions of this tournament are going to do.
Yes, okay.
I want to play on one little thing, the press conference before the finals. And I got to show Mel. I'm showing Mel a picture. If you're listening on SNME Radio, highly recommend to go to njpw1972.com. There's some great pictures of G.O.D. dressed up as elves at the press conference posing.
That's Buddy the Elf's costume. I love it.
Oh, I hate it so much because that is my least favorite Christmas movie of all time. I hate that. I can't watch it anymore because I watched it so much early on that I can't watch that movie without getting irritated now.
That's fair. It's actually the only, I'm not a big Will Ferrell fan. It's one of the only Will Ferrell movies I can stomach of his. But this has given me life. Look at them. They're even doing the little heart.
Yeah. And then I'm going to show one more picture. Giotto comes out with a Santa hat and a beard on.
Jacto Claus. Can we go back to the other picture real quick?
Oh, yeah. What's up? Yeah.
I just want to appreciate how Yoshihashi is legitimately doing a bodybuilding pose.
He's getting pretty jacked. He's looking great.
When I first looked at that, I actually thought it was a short-haired Tanahashi. Yeah. Well, I can't see his butt, so, could be flat. I don't know.
We're going to move on to the World Tag League Finals from December 10th. I thought a really great show overall. We're gonna hammer through the undercard. Not gonna go super into detail on a lot of those matches. Maybe on a couple of them, but yeah, we'll just get.
I'm gonna just remark on stuff. My friend.
We kicked it off with the pre-show match, the Frontier Zone Tag Match. It's from Asuka-san, who has this like cone mask on, like it's a cone head, but it's a mask over his face. It was interesting. Teaming up with Kodai Nozaki, taking on Oleg Bolton and Ryusuke Taguchi. Again, I thought Oleg looked great in this match. There was a spot where he was like, he picked up Kodai, who is a big, like a larger individual. I'm a larger individual. Not tall, but larger individual. And he picks him up with ease, just swinging him around in the air and then gut wrenches him halfway across the ring. This dude is the Kazakhstani version of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I have to agree. He really is. I have a friend who likes to tease me about my hate for Brock Lesnar. But let me tell you, I told him. I wrote a paragraph essay style message with the maximum amount of characters that I was allowed to use, describing how this guy is the second coming, the next generation of Brock Lesnar. Has just as much charisma.
And he's 30 years old. He's right that prime to just become, to break out and do something.
Go ahead.
Asuka-san and Nozaki end up hitting a piggyback splash at one point. It was so good. I loved it.
What did that remind you of?
Oh, stars.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. That always reminds me of Stars from Stardom. But in the ending, Kota Inazaki ends up pouncing Oleg out of the ring. Like, looked really good with the pounce, too. But Taguchi ends up reversing a move from Asosen, and he rolls him up for a 1-2-3 out of nowhere.
Taguchi, he pulls a surprise or two out of his
Gooch.
Oh, man. Nozaki kind of was giving me like power lifter build vibes. Very similar to Chihiro, who we've seen in Stardom. Similar style, too. Very, very, very fast individual. Conehead gave me, I couldn't get over the Conehead. He just said, I would be stabbing people like some kind of weird unicorn with that thing. Yeah. This was a fun opener, though. Yeah, oh, this was the pre-show, right?
Yeah, it was the pre-show match, but like a fun little 6-minute contest.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Nice little showcase, like a taster, if you will, for Ozaki or Nozaki and Asuna-san.
Yeah, it was nice to see, and I'm really liking these Frontier Zones to getting these new faces in.
I agree. I hope they keep up in the new year, and I hope we get more and more tastes of people from all over.
100%. So we move on to the opening match of the main card. It is a 6-man tag between Atlantis Jr., Soberano Jr., the team we have dubbed Lucha Jr., teaming up with Master Wado, taking on TMDK's Kosta Fujita, Mikey Nichols, and Shane Hayes. Love that team. Love TMDK. I liked Atlantis and Soberano being back in their normal gear, with Atlantis being back in his blue and black gear. Soberano in some very like vibrant red gear. I did like to see. There was this beautiful spot where Soberano had somebody up in like a wheelbarrow position, and Lance had him up in the wheelbarrow. And Soberano comes out of nowhere and hits Enziguri, and then he wheelbarrow face buster. Really good combo for those guys.
I thought Fujita, that was Fujita for some reason.
Yeah. Pardon?
I thought they did it on Fujita for some reason.
It's very possible. I couldn't remember who they did it to. I didn't write that down. I'm bad with her. Beautiful Fosbury flop over the top by Soberano onto Haste on the floor right after an Atlantis suicide dive to Nichols. Looked really good. Fujita going wild in the ring on Wada at one point. This kid is got fire for days. Triple team by TMDK. Fujita gets a bridging German for two. Wado fights back, though. Hits Recitamente for two. Then gets the high-angle German, and Wado picks up the win. I really thought this was teed up for Team DK to win this year, but they just kind of gave it to Wado out of nowhere, and I was like, oh. I was a little disappointed.
Yeah, it definitely was an opportunity missed. But also kind of one game, because Wado was in CMLL for his excursion at the same time that Atlantis and Soberano juniors would have been there. So it was a little sentimental for me to see kind of all three of them together working that Lucha Libre style. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It was a missed opportunity to be able to make TMDK look a little strong, or at least stronger, after the loss in the semifinals. That being said, though, I mean, you're absolutely right. Kosta Fujita, just freaking fire, spicy, Ichiban boy. I don't suspect that this losing streak, at least I hope, that this losing streak that TMDK is kind of on right now is going to last long. And I suspect going into the new year, especially with Fujita and Robbie Eagles kind of doing that thing, there can only be more additions made to TMDK that I think will be beneficial to these guys in the long run. I mean, we already got Tito. I wouldn't mind seeing Tito's partner join up with them as well. Be a nice little...
Tito's partner, what?
Take us into the next match and I'll let you know.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Sure. So we move on. 8-man tag match. It is Monster Sauce, Alex Zane, and Lance Archer teaming up with Blue Murder, Minoru Suzuki, and Yuji Nagata taking on the Bullet Club of Alex Coggan, Bad Luck Folly, Gabe Kidd, and Jack Bonza. The Rogue Army forms in with the War Dogs. I'm liking it. It's the Rogue Dogs, ladies and gentlemen. The Rogue Dogs.
I love it. So I found the guy's name. He is the Latino meat, Andreas Cabrera.
Okay, interesting.
I think from the flag, I believe he's from Uruguay.
Okay, we'll see if he's TMDK material. I did like Coughlin and Kid wearing the long pants to kind of sync up to the look of Fale and Bonza, to kind of give them like so they're not wearing looking in their tights while they're in the long pant gear. I like the flow of it. The entrance from Monster Sauce, though. What the hell? Why? Why was there a man in a monster mask with claws? I didn't understand this.
Wrestling. It was glorious chaos. Oh, but it was like Thriller, man.
Yeah. So in the match, Fale and Archer, man, I love seeing these two just bounce off each other. Because again, these are two guys that have worked together so many times over the last like decade and change. And yeah, just to see them smashing into each other and doing what they're doing together was great. Mm-hmm. There's at one point Kid gets in the goddess face. And Nagata just, and he starts smacking him and yelling at him. Nagata just stands up, smacks him, and hits him with an exploder. So screw you, Kid. Tags out to Suzuki. And Suzuki comes in. And then Coggan tries to save his partner. Suzuki fights them both off and just like beating up on them. It's just great brawling in there. It was a very big brawling style match here.
I mean,
yeah,
the Rogue Dogs are definitely they're a chaotic bunch. They're definitely like the leader, right? Their name is Finley. Yep. They like to fight.
Yeah, Bonza comes in, but Suzuki just like beating his ass. It's just beating him up and then Zane gets in and Bonza kind of regains control for a while. The end of the match though comes with Zane hits the jump or Archer hits Bonza up top with the rising knee. Zane hits that jump up, and then he runs a guy off the top. And then Suzuki hits the gotcha pile driver. Archer then picks up Zane. First time I've seen it. And he blackouts Zane onto Bonza, and Zane gets the win. Post-match, though, Suzuki fist bumps Archer and Zane, but will not fist bump Nagata.
I mean, arguably, did Nagata take the most losses for the tag team in the tag league?
Say it again.
Did Nagata take the most pins or submissions in the tag league here? Because I think Suzuki was really mad that Nagata kept losing the matches.
Yeah, I think it's just, yeah.
But it's also just Murder Grandpa. He's just probably in a sour mood. Yeah, I love seeing Murder Monster Sauce. I love seeing those guys. But that finish was just, that was so good. I really enjoyed that ending. Do you think that we're going to see the Rogue Army here a little bit more? And that being said, do you think that we'll see Owens and Ishimori kind of more teaming with the Rogue Army as opposed to the War Dogs?
I would prefer it. I don't think Fale is going to be in Japan like constantly because I think he's going to come over for little tours, head back. I think he'll be around for Wrestle Kingdom and the tour after. I think it's because he's got the school. He's running a school. He's got to be there for intakes and stuff. But he's still got to do his tours. But I think Bonza will really benefit from being over here with Fale for a while and getting to work with an Owens, getting to work with an Ishimori, I think is good for Bonza. I think I think you could leave him here working with Owens and working with Ishimori, and I think he'll be fine.
I agree. Even Kenta. Kenta. Another one. Keep forgetting about him. Because maybe if I forget about him, they'll give him a freaking title.
Yeah, you don't seem, every time you seem to really get behind, doesn't get titles.
Yeah, it's like every time I start to get behind him, yeah, he just got to stop supporting him. Pretend he doesn't exist and he'll win.
Please stop supporting TMDK so they can win a title.
Gosh, dang it. I want to support someone good. I don't want to have to cheer House of Torture.
Yeah, support House of Torture. We move on. We get Chaos. Shimohiro Ishii and Toriano teaming up with the Young Lions, Oscar Loibe and Naito Nakashima, taking on United Empire's Callum Newman, Great Okan, Hanare, and Jeff Cobb. Just a really good back and forth. Newman getting the best of Yuto Nakashima early. Yano gets in, removes the corner pad, but Khan sends him right into the corner pad. It's just, and then sits on his head. It's great. And then Hanare comes up, punches Yano in the butt. Callum comes running up and kicks Yano in the butt. And then Cobb comes up and headbutts Yano in the butt. Just so
of all the things to like pull out of your arsenal, Mr. Cobb, I don't know if that was the right one, but that's what we got.
He tried to put his head up Yano's ass, literally.
Wasn't Cobb involved in the thumb bum thing? To me, I feel like that's probably an evolution.
I never want to talk. I've never actually seen thumb bums, so I don't need to talk about it.
I feel like he was probably, I know Ciampa was in there. I know Liger was at the start of it.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't need to see that.
Continue, my friend.
just a really good, like, Ishii, when he was in here, just wrecking house. Him and Hanari, I love the brawling between those two. It was really, really good. Loy Bay's in at one point, fights off Callum and Cobb, but Cobb does get the advantage, but Yuto comes in. They double-team Cobb till Khan makes a save, but Yuto ends up taking Khan to the floor. Cobb stops Loy Bay's suplex and hits a lariat, and then just, like, jumping, does, like, a jump, like a fish drop to the face. It was great. He gets a two count out of it. He then picks up Loy Bay, tour of the islands! And United Empire are victorious. Right to my banner behind me. United Empire, baby. Let's go.
You're going to tell me to stop supporting them, too?
No, never, never. they've won titles, so
that's true. Good. That's
technically, Ospreay still has the title, and he will be the forever champion now of the UK the UK-US title. So,
I mean, technically, yeah, the pieces of it anyway. Since Mr. Finlay decided to redecorate it with a sledgehammer. This match was a really good back and forth. I felt that this was just kind of like a highlight, to be able to highlight each kind of person in their own little moment. That Callum Newman is so freaking fast. Just a little speed demon. What is he called again? The Prince of Pace?
Prince of Pace, yeah.
No, freaking kidding. Guy moves like a lightning bolt. Should have casted him for the Flash. He's cute enough. Shave the beard. Can look like, what's the guy's name? Barry?
Yeah, sure.
You can tell Barry. How much I love DC.
Barry Allen.
What?
Barry Allen.
See, I knew it was Barry. That's pretty good. I didn't completely mess up the name like I usually do. It's been a little bit for me since I've seen these, like, this good of a brawl back and forth with these two, but it's also been a hot minute since we've seen Chaos all together. Kind of, I saw a picture of them on Instagram the other day and went, oh, right, I forgot they were a faction. Really, just, I hate to say it, just not a very supportive faction, you know, like, for being the face and arguably, besides Hontai, the faciest face, like, kind of faction. It's very odd to see the lack of camaraderie happening right now between the members of Chaos. But I will always love seeing Ishii. I don't care who he's walking with, and I don't think he does either. Mr. No Neck kind of came in, as you mentioned, like a wrecking ball. It was really nice to see. I really like watching him wrestle. I'm going to be very sad when he has to retire. This man, he's just so enjoyable to watch. And he can pull off the comedy spots with Yano, but also maintain that seriousness and who he is throughout the little comedy thing. So I really appreciate that. really liking the combination of Loibe and Nakashima. Those two are going to have a, if they decide to tag team together after their excursions, I suspect we're going to be in for a really dominant tag team, because these guys are learning so freaking quick. But then on top of that, I mean, Nakashima is just beast moding out. I mean, that guy is getting thicker and bigger every time we see him. But then so is Loibe. And he's got those unnaturally long legs. The guy looks like a superhero, speaking of DC. Mm-hmm. Like the Hantai heavyweights, they could be. Incredible. Anyway, we can move on from this one. This was a fun match.
Yeah, we're going to move on to what was not a fun match.
No.
Shota Umino and Tiger Mask versus House of Torches, Ren Narita and Sho. Umino only took 2.5 minutes for his entrance this time. So, it's not bad.
Which was surprising, but, I mean, understandable given the situation.
He's paring it down. Sho and Togo come out for the match. What's going on? Where's Narita? Sho speaks. He has a t-shirt. He stomps on it. I don't know. Was it Umino's shirt? I don't know. Togo and Sho attack Umino and Narita. They brawl to the floor. Tiger Mask gets the better of Sho. Hits a Tiger Suplex and a knee drop. Then he gets a Thor backbreaker. Umino is beating down on Sho until Narita attacks him from behind, choking Umino. He runs Umino into the barricade. And then the match ends up starting. Sho gets the wrench. The ref gets distracted. Togo uses the garrote. And Narita hits an X Factor in the ring. And then Sho gets the pinfall for the win on Tiger Mask as Umino's dead on the floor. Yeah, this happened. I don't want to talk about it because I thought this was so stupid.
that's a Melball description right there. This was a thing and it happened. It's interesting, though, to see the developing story with Narita. I feel like Narita is the only thing in this that makes it interesting. But it's the only thing that I'm interested in, which makes the rest of the nonsense kind of surrounding him with Sho and the rest of House of Torture kind of obnoxious. Still. Shocking. But Narita, I mean, we mentioned before, what do we think, he could do, having one of these guys turn heel? We've mentioned it, and Narita was the one who we thought would be the best one to turn heel. Mm-hmm. Arguably doing impressively well for a heel. And considering this is his first time going heel and considering who he has to mentor under, I would say he's actually doing really, really good. I mean, Evil and House of Torture have been House of Torturing us for how long now? And they haven't figured out how to properly heel in a manner that's going to be fun and interesting for us. Narita is single-handedly bringing that to this faction. He could possibly be the best thing that ever happened to him. Could we see him dethroning Evil and shaking up Bullet Club a little bit and taking over leadership? Especially if he starts making it, obvious that he can actually pick up wins, start making the team get some gold. If he can prove his point and show that Evil was a weak leader, he could easily take over. And I don't think that those guys would hesitate to follow someone who's going to make them more money. What do you think, man?
No, 100%. You're right. Or 100% right on that. I think Narita's a more dynamic leader. We'll see where this goes. Again, he's been a heel for 2 shows. We'll see how good he actually is as a heel. So far, so good. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we have to wait and see if House of Torture, House of Tortures, and messes everything up as they per usually do.
Because Sho was really good. And then they messed him up. Like, I don't know. There's a lot.
I felt that Evil was really great in LIJ. He definitely needed a change of scenery and a step up, but I really enjoyed the Evil character with the death and the scythe and the fun stuff. Like, I thought it was a really good gimmick, and it got ruined putting him in House of Torture. Well, creating House of Torture. Arguably Kanemaru is on his way to that also, which is unfortunate because he's another phenomenal wrestler. Even Togo, great in-ring competitor. This gimmick is atrocious.
We hate house torture. And it's time for more of it, because we get Kaito Kiyomiya, Ryohei Oiwa, and Tomoaki Hanma versus the House of Torture Evil, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and Yujiro Takahashi.
This picture.
Oh, of Kaito?
All three of them. They just, I mean, for my video game nerds, they look like the Dragonborn. They're about to Fusro-duh House of Torture into oblivion. I love it.
They're the angry gentlemen. That's what they are.
They really are. Look at the intensity on these guys' faces.
If you had to face House of Torture, how I'd be yelling, no!
I mean, that's arguably what it is they're yelling.
Yeah. So, like, God damn it.
And he throws laughing at them.
Yeah, House of Torture attack for the bell. Everybody brawls. Hanma and Kanemaru fight in the ring. And this is the Oiwa show. He's in this a good chunk of this match. He gets matched with constantly by Togo and Kane. Like, it's again, it's a lot of House of Torture shenanigans throughout this thing. It's House of Torture coming in, doing their House of Torture is this. Oiwa does fight back at one point with Yujiro. Hits him with a gutter suplex. Tags in Kaito, who goes wild with drop kicks. Hits a lariat to Yujiro for two. Again, it's a lot of shit from House of Torture. The Evil comes in, gets revenge on Kaito. They even, like, he gets him down for one, two, and as the rest coming down to count three, Togo rings the bell. Like, and Evil stands up, I won, but it's like, the rest is like, no, you didn't. I didn't count three, idiot. Like, it... Yeah. I think my highlight of this match was Hanma coming in and getting his... Like, he misses the Kokeshi, has Torture triple team Hanma, Evil shocks the ref, and Togo goes, does the upside down low blow, but he does it Kokeshi style. Like, drops the headbutt into the crotch. But Evil only gets a two out of it. Hanma fights off everything is Evil. Kaito and Oiwa and Hanma triple team Evil. He hits a Kokeshi, then he hits a rocket Kokeshi, but he can only get two. Hanma goes up to the second rope for a second rope Kokeshi, but Kanemaru sprays the Santori surprise in his face, and Evil pulls him down. It's everything is Evil. And it's over. The House of Torture gang up and attack after. Umino shows up to make the save, attacks Narita, but House of Torture does escape. And Umino chases them to the back. So we get rid of them pretty quickly after, which is nice.
I mean, that's what you got to do with House of Torture, is just run them off like they're just some kind of uninvited, unwanted thing on your property.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I don't want to add too much to this because we've already given House of Torture more time than we should have. It's always a joy to see Hanma. He's just so dedicated to his work and his job, and he's always so happy and gives 110,000% in everything that he does. You're absolutely right, though. This was an Oiwa showcase, and I live for it, and I cannot wait until we see him again back in an NJPW ring, and I hope that it's soon.
Well, I know I'll get to watch him on January 2nd at the NOAH New Year show that I'm going to watch.
So, say, are you going back in time or
back in time?
And Kaito Kiyomiya, man, he is just. It makes me unhappy to hear that the story with him is that they're putting all this crazy pressure on him to perform, and, you know, he has to win this, that he clearly didn't. But, like, holy hot diggity dang, has he been a tremendous representation of pro wrestling NOAH in this tournament and even in the G1. He has had an incredible year, and it's been so awesome to see him grow in an NJPW ring. Because, like, last year, like, I think it was maybe in, what, January or something, when he started his ish with Okada, when he popped that, kicked him in the face, and started. I was not a fan at that point. I was like, nay, sir, you don't come into this company. And, like, just randomly pop the champion in the face for no reason when he's not expecting it. That's not very, it's not very sportsmanlike. But man, has he turned around from that and become this like little beacon that, you know, when he comes out, it doesn't matter if he's facing House of Torture. It doesn't matter if he's facing War Dogs. It doesn't matter who he's facing. He's going to show up and show out, and you're going to love it.
100%. So we are going to move on to a tag team match. It is Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kazuchika Okada taking on the Gates of Agony, Bishop Khan and Toa Liana. While they didn't have a great, the best showing in the tournament this year, I think this is a great way, a great match for them to cap off for Gates of Agony. I think this is the right match. Like, you showcase them against the two, arguably the two biggest stars in New Japan. And so when Okada was taking off his jacket in the ring, and Liona just goes, ah, and Okada just like turns real quick, I legitimately think Liona spooked Okada.
100%. He definitely, what the frick was that?
It was so, so good. Oh, it made me laugh so hard when I saw it, man. And Liona,
I love those moments.
Yeah, Liona got to really play the powerhouse early in this match with Okada trying to do everything, but Liona just knocking him down over and over again. When he takes Okada to the floor, they send Okada to the floor. Khan's like running him into the barricade, running him into the apron, running him into the barricade, running into the apron. Again, they were giving Gates of Agony a lot of strong action here early. Liona gets Okada up in the corner. Like, even if he's like in a follow stand position, gets him to the corner, and he's like throwing knees up into the ribs of Okada. Looked really good. Tags in Khan, who then hits the Eddie Guerrero senton over the top and into the ribs of Okada. Just really working over his ribs. Get a really good match. Tanahashi, when he gets in, he's just like on fire with him in the red Khan. Yeah, just so the man is, I think, one of the best. Liona comes in and Tana like ducks out of the way of the corner and just gets a twist and shout out of nowhere on Liona. It was really good. Okada comes back in. He's brawling with Liona. Okada ends up getting dumped on his head by Liona on a back body drop. I was like, ooh, is he okay? Gates of Agony, double team Okada, hit that dual razor's edge, but Tanahashi breaks up the pinfall. Tanahashi gets a sling blade to both members of Gates of Agony and hits, and then Khan ends up on the floor and he hits the plancha to Khan on the floor. Okada with the drop kick, the landslide, and the Rainmaker to Toa Liona. And the Rainmaker gets the win for his team. But again, I really enjoyed this. I thought this was, and it was six-man tag champs versus six-man tag champs. ROH versus never. That's what it was.
And imagine what would have happened if we had the thirds in there. That would have been a killer match. Arguably could set up for a crossover match, maybe. We could see maybe a North American show, maybe a Battle of the Valley or something where we see the trios versus the trios. I love those champion versus champion matches. Because it's like a bragging rights kind of competition. You know what I'm saying? Like, which company gets to brag about their trios being the strongest? Now, I think that's a really cool concept and idea. This match was very much, I felt, you're absolutely right, like a thank you for coming. Here's our best guys. Tear the place up, and they did. This was a great match, and like Tana still struggles, but man, did he do good in this match. Like he was, there was a couple matches a couple months ago where we were concerned about his ability to walk. It's still a concern, but it's not as much of a concern right now based on this match. I really did enjoy seeing the Gates of Agony on this tour. I definitely hope that we see them again. Maybe sometime in the summer or something.
I'm going to go and actually watch some more of the ROH stuff just because I've really enjoyed them in the tag league.
It's a very good gateway for ROH, right? And a really great way for them to advertise for it, too.
Yeah, so just to go back to the eight-man tag of Chaos versus UE, there was a brawl after, and there was a spot where Khan picked up the six-man title. It was, like, holding it for a minute, and then he, like, tosses it at Ishii on the floor. Problem is, we're not going to get that title, at, that match at Wrestle Kingdom, because Okada's in a singles match with Danielson. So, using a six-man of United Empire going after the six-man titles, but we're not going to get that till maybe near Dash on the 5th?
I mean, maybe?
I hope so.
I mean, it would be ideal.
Yeah.
Especially with Okada, as you mentioned. Because, yeah, I heard a rumor that Danielson was injured. Is that a work or is that true?
Well, he has an orbital bone injury, but he is working matches in AEW right now doing the Continental Classic. So it's an actual orbital bone injury that he had it worked on. So, but he's planning to be in Japan on the 4th. He's working every week on TV right now, wrestling in AEW. So,
I mean. We know enough wrestlers to know that may or may not be a good thing, especially at Bryan Danielson's age. However, I guess we'll see. We'll see how that works out. I wouldn't mind seeing that again. Like, hey, could you imagine United Empire versus Gates of Agony? That would be amazing. Depending on the combination that you have of United Empire, I think the best one would be the obvious power one. But which combination of power? Would you put Callum in there? Or would you just have the straight power of Cobb, Hanari, and Great O'Con? Could you imagine?
That should be the team. Cobb, Hanari, and Great O'Con against the mishmash.
Team Haas.
Team Haas versus Team Star. We're going to move on to the semi-main event of the evening. It is a 10-man tag match. It is Los Ingobernables to Japón, Bushi, Shingo Takagi, Tetsuya Naito, and Yoda Tsuji teaming up with Zendokan Jr. To take on just 5 guys, Doki, Sanada, Taichi, Takamichinoku, and Yuya Uemura. Glorious, glorious chaos is what reigns supreme in this match. Bushi. Dude, that gosh darn mask, his Zendokan Jr. style mask,
so good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, I loved it, man.
Oh, yeah. I love seeing whatever Bushi is coming out with. No mask ever seems the same.
No. Yeah, it just... I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I really love that mask.
Nice little homage, because like Zendokan Jr. did very well on this tour. He shout out Nasty Nate. He tenderized a lot of titties on this tour, let me tell you.
He did.
Especially Taichi, on this team.
Yeah. Taichi coming out, got his KOPW title back on the 17th. Against Shell, won it back. Good thing. I think Crisis ought not on still on show. Again, a lot of this match was glorious, glorious chaos. Uemura and Tsuji have really great back and forth early on in this match, but Tsuji ends up tagging out pretty fast. Same thing that happened with Sonata and Naito when they locked up to start the match. And as soon as Sonata got him on the ropes and like broke the hold, Naito immediately tagged to Tsuji. And then it happened again with Tsuji, kind of running away. Takagi and Taichi, though. I will never get tired of this pairing. I'm glad they both have their own respective titles, so they're not going to be going into further feuds with each other for the next while. Because I think with that feud especially, you need a break.
Yes, I highly agree. The feud that they just had was just the perfect amount of time, the perfect amount of energy, and the perfect amount of everything. We need at least a few months break before they meet up again, for sure.
100%. Really good back and forth. Zendokan at one point gets a delayed suplex to Doki, and then it's a beautiful lion salt. Naito and Sonata going back and forth. They're both avoiding each other's big moves until Naito arm drags Sonata into the knee. Then Bushi comes in on the attack. Again, great spots going back and forth. There was a spot with LIJ that tried to attack Sonata, but he gets Bushi in the Paradise Lock. I think drop holds Takagi into Bushi to break the hold. Love that. Really good back and forth. Taka in getting some great fire. Gets the face lock, then the kick, and then hits a Michinoku driver on Bushi for two. You're thinking, oh, no. And I'm so hopeful for Taka here. But then all of it, everybody just coming in. Everybody's attacking somebody. Everybody's hitting a move on somebody else. And Zanikin Jr. hits the elevated delayed tiger bomb on Taka. Dives on Nidoki on the floor. Bushi comes off the second rope. MX to Taka, and Bushi picks up the win. Post-match, though, they do the LIJ circle fist bump thing. And they waited, and Zandakin Jr. put his fist in. We might have a new member of LIJ. Now, as far as I know, nothing's official yet, and Tsuji did say when he was teaming up with him that he wasn't part of LIJ. So is this fist bump a signification, a signifying moment of Zanikin Jr. becoming part of this team?
I want to say yes. And I want to say yes based on the other members' reactions as they were waiting for said fist bump. As you saw Bushi moving his hand, trying to get the crowd hyped up. You saw Takagi doing the same thing, looking around. Takagi and Zandakin have also been bonding quite a bit on this tour with Tsuji. They've been posting quite a bit on their Instagrams, going out for food together, hanging out at the gym together. Like, they've really bonded. So Takagi, you know, come on, let's go. You could see Tsuji also looking at him, inviting him in. So I personally hope that that's what it means, because it would make me feel better to know that Titan has a friend in CMLL that is a part of his faction. What do you think? Do you think that that means that Zandokin has joined up with the Ungovernables?
I think he's now, like, fully associated with them. Again, nothing's official. He hasn't. He's not a member yet, as far as I've been looking. But I think he's strong associated with the team.
Could you imagine the merch?
Could you imagine watching a CMLL show with Zanikin Jr. teaming up with Titan?
A Melbo would like you. A Melbo would like you a lot. Very much so.
Fantasticomania.
I mean, it's coming. If I'm not mistaken, Titan is coming over for that.
I hope Zandakin's coming back for it. I really, really do. Fingers crossed.
Could you imagine all of LIJ?
Yeah.
One ring together? That'd be incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. So
we are going to move on to the main event of the evening. It is the World Tag League Finals. It is Bishamon, the current reigning IWGP Tag Team Champions, taking on the Guerrillas of Destiny, El Fantasma and Hilaire, the current strong openweight Tag Team Champions. For the match, it's going to be a clean, good match. Good back and forth early, really good stuff. Bishamon do double suplex Hikuleo, taking him out. They hit a war drums on ELP early on in the match. I'll preface this match was 40 minutes. There's so much happened. So I just highlighted a few things that I wanted to talk about. And Mel, you can bring up anything else that I don't cover.
I'll do my best.
ELP hitting an assisted rope walk and the moonsault to Bishamon on the floor. GOD pull out a chair. They toss it away. They pull out another chair. They toss it away again. And then they finally pull out a table and set it up. They set up Yoshihashi on the table, but Goto ends up pushing ELP off the top. And Hashi ends up running Hikuleo into the barricade to stop this little thing from happening here. Again, lots and lots is happening in this match. I'm just giving little highlights here. ELP and Hashi trading strikes in the center at one point. Yoshihashi drops ELP. ELP comes back with the springboard cross, misses the lion salt as Yoshihashi runs the floor, but ELP hits the suicide dive. Then it's a springboard splash in the ring, and then the lion salt, he finally gets to hit it for two. They hit the GOD hit the UFO big boot. Almost a big boat. The big boot.
I love it.
Yeah. Sudden death to Yoshihashi. Chokeslam to Yoshihashi. And ELP has to dive to Goto. Thunder kiss off the shoulder of Hikuleo by ELP. But Yoshihashi gets the knees up to stop the thunder kiss. And he gets a small package out of it for two. Hikuleo tries to powerbomb Goto from the ring to the outside onto the table, but Goto fights it off. But ELP hits the EKO to Goto. The EKO, not the RKO. assisted top rope powerbomb by ELP off the top to Yoshihashi, but the pin gets broken up. ELP decides to have Hikuleo dive off his shoulders, but Yoshihashi moves out of the way, and Goto takes out ELP. Hashi tags out to Goto. Goto comes in with a beautiful wheel kick in the corner, gets that backdrop to ELP out of the corner. ELP gets the backslide, but Goto gets kicks and hits the Ushigaroshi into a hammerlock armbar, but ELP gets the ropes. ELP and Goto trading shots. Goto getting the best getting the best of them, and Bishamon hit the final flash, but Hikuleo stops the Shoto, but they double team him, and then double team ELP and hit the Russian Legacy Headhunter. They hit Shoto, but Hikuleo makes a save. Hikuleo gets double teamed on the apron. They hit Shoto off the apron through the table on the floor. Looked so good. 35 minutes have passed. I'm just sitting here going, wow. And I watched a lot of this on 1.5 times the speed. It's just, I like things going a little bit faster. But still, I was 20-some minutes into this match, like of my sitting time, and I was having a great time with this match. I really was. We are not the biggest fans of Bishamon, but I thought this was one of their best matches this year so far. Like, I was quite enjoying this one, personally.
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to say about that table spot is I disagree. I didn't think it looked great. His head was went through that table, and mercifully his shoulders were across the bar of the table, because those tables are shaped with that metal bar frame around it. If he was just this little bit further out, it would have been his neck going over that thing, and that concerns me greatly.
Yeah,
probably wouldn't have gotten up from that very easily.
No, don't get me wrong. It was insanely reckless, but it was cool. It was cool to see them do a Shoto off the apron through a table. I'm not saying it was the best landing, but it was cool to see. So ELP tries fighting back against Bishamon, but they get the upper hand. They hit final flash. He fights off the Shoto, but then they fight him and they hit he fights back. ELP gets a Shoto to Goto using the back of Yoshihashi, then super kicks Yoshihashi and gets two on Goto. So ELP gets Goto up, Ushigaroshi, but Goto kicks it one, and I respect the one count here, because this is like a guy's like, no, you are not beating me with my move. ELP hits sudden death, CR2, but Goto kicks out of that last fraction in a second at 2.9. ELP loads it up. He's tuning up the Canadian band, but Yoshihashi hits him from behind. They hit the super kick GTW combo for two. Bulldog flapjack by Bishamon for two. Then they pick him up. That full Nelson lifts him up. Power bomb cutter thing they do. And Bishamon get the win at 40 minutes and 30 seconds. I will admit, while the match was stellar, I'm disappointed that Bishamon won.
At least it wasn't House of Torture.
Yeah, at least not House of Torture. But like, I know where this is going. I've read, we're going to talk about it here in a minute. But I don't know. I was just a little disappointed. I wanted ELP and Hikuleo to win this and go into Wrestle Kingdom with the momentum, as they call it.
I mean, yeah. I wasn't really going into the finals. I honestly didn't really have, because, like, to be honest, neither team was one that I wanted to see in the finals. So for me, it was I went in a little underwhelmed. The match itself was a freaking banger, though. But yeah, I share your sentiment in that I was a little wow. That being said, though, I mean, we'll talk about it in a minute, but, like, Sky's got some records out of this, particularly Goto, which I'm pretty happy about, because if it means that he has to drag along Yoshihashi with him, well, I guess that means we have to drag along Yoshihashi to elevate Goto a little bit. That's okay. I can deal with that.
Give it to Yoshihashi. This guy has been put, when he's put in these bigger matches, he's been putting on great performances. Mm-hmm. We've been getting G1 Yoshihashi consistently, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah, it's almost like G1 Yoshihashi, not even from this year, but last year, kind of stuck around. It's almost like he didn't know it was time to go.
And I'm kind of happy about that.
But I still would have liked to see, there were so many other teams that I wanted to see higher up in the point count. Gates of Agony being one of them. I mean, Champions from another company, I feel like they probably should have been a little bit higher. They did take a couple of what I would consider comedy losses. So particularly Deano, which, what do you do in that situation? I mean, he has to have one at least. But getting to this match, there was, we mentioned earlier in the night, ELP in it for a long, long time. I felt like there was almost points where I thought this was a handicap match, because there were very long periods of time where I either didn't see Hikuleo and he wasn't doing anything, or like he was out on the side and it was going back and forth between watching him laid out on the side or wherever he was.
Well, the last 5 minutes of this match, or 5.5 minutes, was Hikuleo selling dead off the table spot.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, the rest of the match going on, he was pretty scarce.
No, but I'm still saying it's like just that 5 minutes alone.
And he
he did it a lot previously too.
Bro got his head put through a table though. but yeah, ELP really got worked over in this one, especially that arm. And that arm was a concern coming out of their match with TMDK also. He couldn't even do the high five on Hikuleo after that. So, you know, it was a concerned and heavily taped coming into this match, which, you know, eventually he had no tape by the end of the match, just ripped it all off. ELP really put in a lot of work in this match, and it was really heckin' impressive. What was that submission that Goto put on him?
It was like a hammer lock arm, like a hammer lock on the one arm, but then pulling back on an arm bar, like a Fujiwara arm bar on the other arm.
Yeah, I know Goto does do submissions. He just doesn't tend to bring them out too much. So when he rolled him up into this really, really easily, I was like, ooh, I like this side of Goto. Let's see more. But what I was even more impressed with, and like, this might be a weird thing for me to think about. Again, this is that simple but effective kind of thing. He had that one hand free, and as ELP was kicking towards the ropes, he actually shoved down on ELP's hips, so he couldn't get that full momentum to kick towards the ropes. And to me, right there, the first thing that popped into my head, Shibata shit. That's some Shibata shit. That's what you get when you're friends with Katsuyori Shibata. You get that exclusive little knowledge, those little, as it were, tips and tricks of the trade. And I've never really seen anybody do that, or maybe I just haven't been noticing. But for me, it was a nice little detail, because it added to that kind of sense of urgency that he knew ELP has those kickety legs. He had to pin him down as quickly as possible to prevent him from getting out of the submission to do as much damage as possible. And that looks like it ended up working out for him in the end. And the last thing I want to say is that the Yoshihashi's gear, we've been a little critical of, especially the entrance gear, but it actually looks good when he's wearing the title belt. Did you notice that?
Yeah, when he's got the title on, because it tightens up the gear.
It cinches in the waistband. I think that's what he needs to do. Either just be perpetually the champion while he wears that intro gear, or get a belt. Just like a regular belt to bring in that waistline. But yeah, it looks better when it's cinched in at the waist there.
By far. Again, yeah. I thought a great main event. Just, I wanted to see G.O.D. win it. So it has been announced for Wrestle Kingdom. We're getting a finals rematch. It's Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi putting up their IWGP Tag Team Championships against El Phantasmo and Hikuleo, who are putting up their strong open weight tag team championships in a 60-minute winner takes all match.
Oh, I didn't know that detail.
Oh, yeah. I read it on NJPW 1972 just before we started recording. That is what this is for. It's for everything. Winner takes all the belts. Again, something that happened earlier this year.
Yeah, I was just going to say, didn't that just literally happen?
Wasn't it Dominion, I want to say? Did that happen?
It happened enough that we remember, like, recently enough that we remember it. Maybe not enough time, you guys, because that's going to guaranteely merger these titles, and I was hopeful with the separation of them that we could see the emergence of the strong brand in North America. If we attach them back to the IWGP titles, we're going to have angry fans somewhere, because Japan is going to be a little annoyed that they're going to lose their champions, and then strong brand hasn't really had the opportunity to get their tag division off the ground before they're losing their titles. Like, what are they? It just seems like a poor choice. What do you think?
I'm only for it if El Phantasmo and Hikuleo win, because as much as Goto and Hashi have been having great matches, I really don't want to see them over and strong. I really don't. Or go to a draw. Everybody walks away with the titles, but I don't think we're getting a 60-minute draw in the middle of a card for the tag team titles.
No, I don't think so either.
No, so
it's concerning. It's a little concerning.
Yeah, we'll see. Again, off this match, I know this team is going to have a great match. I am 100% prepared. It's not like in past years where I'm like, oh god damn, Yoshihashi. This guy's been performing really well and really strong, and we're going to get a great match out of this. I don't want to see the belts getting unified. I don't want to see and I don't want to see champions out of a certain, like, and again, Strong only runs once every month or two. So it's not the worst thing in the world, but like, I want to see something new. I want to see Hikuleo and El Phantasmo take the titles, go feud with TMDK. Let's do something different. Let's let Bishamon go on their way, personally.
Yeah, because I prefer Bishamon to stay in Japan. That seems to be their niche. And to be honest, like, I don't know that Hashi would be well received in North America. In the same manner that Hikuleo and ELP would. Goto would, 100%, because he's been over there once before. People would recognize him, or at least us old farts would recognize him. But yeah, I also don't like the idea of unifying the titles. Again, especially after we just unified and ununified them. That's not a detail I'm particularly happy about. And you're absolutely right. They're not going to do a 60-minute match in the middle of the card for the tag team titles. But that being said, I am a little concerned also. Like, they did so much in this last match. I'm curious to see what it is that they can do that's going to be different from this match.
Because they did a lot here. I think they did every possible combination.
Combination?
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But
wow.
Again, great World Tag League. I had a great time watching this tournament. I've gotten to see most of the tournament. There was a few nights, couple nights that I did miss, but I caught as many highlights of those nights as I could. Again, great time. I had such a blast watching this tournament, and the finals were good. I enjoyed the finals. Outside of who won it, I thought great semifinals and finals.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I also wanted to real quick mention the records that Goto and Yoshihashi.
Threepeat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the record books. So the tweet that I showed have here, Hirooki Goto is now in the record books as the winner of the longest NJPW World Tag match, which was 40 minutes and 30 seconds. So this match.
Wow.
Goto and Yoshihashi defeated Phantasmo and Hikuleo, and they also had the shortest match in NJPW G1 Climax history against Yano for 18 seconds.
Wow. Interesting.
Right? Very interesting kind of mix of things. He's had the longest match, the shortest match, and he's also won the most amount of times.
Yeah, again, I'm really liking this. I like that they're setting the records, doing the special stuff. But I wish we had gone a different way. But again, yes, we would have ended up with this match pretty much any which way.
Mm-hmm.
But we got what we got.
We did.
And I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with this match of Wrestle Kingdom. Me and Mel will be watching it live at her house at 11 p.m., midnight, whenever it's starting.
We established that the pre-show starts at 11 and the main show starts at 1.
Something like that. I'm going to sleep as much as I can during that day so that I can just eat candy and eat chips and whatever.
Candy? We're having breakfast for dinner, my guy. We're having sausage, pancakes, bacon, hash browns. We're going to eat well that night.
Breakfast for dinner, Wrestle Kingdom. I can't wait. That's going to be an incredible show. That'll be probably the next time we're back here. I will be back. I'm going to do a small show. We might be back. We were talking about doing some best ofs. We might do a preview. So we'll be back at the end of the month with something else. I'm going to be back with a NOAH review of NOAH's New Year show. I was coming solo with that one. I'm going to watch the show, give it a quick review. Nothing too in-depth like we do with a lot of these, but yeah. So we'll be back end of the month with that. Stardom review will probably return at the end of the month with Dream Queendom. Lots of great stuff coming from that, along with the best of for that for Stardom too. So we got some stuff coming from there. So please keep supporting us. We really appreciate it. Before we get out of here, we got to say some thank yous, some shout outs, some all the stuff we do. I'm going to shut myself out. Because I'm a shill for me. You can find me on the X, Mastodon, Blue Sky Hive at That Canada Guy, TikTok, Instagram, and Threads at That Canada Dude. You can find me on Facebook at Andre Melball Wrestling Talk. You can talk to me there. If you want to check me out talking some geeky stuff that I like to do, go check me out at twitch.tv/our local establishment, where you can find me doing Marvel Talk every once in a blue moon. We're going to be doing a rebound. Me and Ed are going to be hopefully getting that up in the next week or so. We're going to review Iron Man from 2008. We're going back to the beginning. We're starting the MCU over again. And along, we're going to be doing probably some shorts and maybe a recap at the end for the What If show. And then we'll be in January, we're going to have a full season recap of Echo. So lots of great content coming there. And if you want the replays of all that stuff, and all the Marvel talks we've done in the past, go to youtube.com/@ourlocalestablishment to check that out. Please go over and check out my boy, Mike the Ref, over at Backbreaker Video, supporting us, simulcasting our stuff a week later. Thank you so much, Mike, for all the great support. You can check all that and all the other great wrestling content at youtube.com/@backbreakervideo. If you want to check out his live content, go to twitch.tv/MikeTheRef. You can see him do his AEW watch along. You can see him play video games. All that great stuff at twitch.tv/MikeTheRef. If you want replays of all that gaming content, go to youtube.com/@Backbreaker_gaming. You can find him, Mr. PJC, Mr. Rick Jules, and the freaking guest, Kayla J.
Kayla J. Love Kayla J.
And I got one more now.
Yeah.
Please go over to our brand new partners. If you're watching us right now, go check out our brand new partners over at SundayNightsMainEvent.com and their Patreon.com/SNME Radio. I need to thank this group for bringing us in. We got to do stuff with them earlier this year for the G1 draft, what we did. I'm so happy we're finally getting to partner with these guys. Boris, thank you so much for bringing us on. I really appreciate it. All the rest at SNME Radio, thank you guys so much for being supportive and bringing us into the team. We really, really do appreciate it. And for all those of you listening to us on the Sunday's Main Event podcast feed on Patreon or on the free feeds, wherever you're listening to us, thank you all so much for downloading us and checking us out. I know we ramble, we talk, but we ramble because we love professional wrestling, and we particularly love Japanese professional wrestling. So thank you guys so very much for supporting us. Please, we'll be back soon with more episodes. So please check us out. Appreciate all the Sunday's Main Event crowd for doing that. And Melball, where can we find you?
If you're wanting to follow a Melball, you can follow her on the X thing at Collins Melball. You can follow her on everything else, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Mastodon, and Blue Sky at Melball Collins. You can also find me on our local establishment's programming in the new year, where she's going to be bringing out a new spooky ooky show. So stay tuned to hear more about that. You can also find me on Astro Pizarro's YouTube channel, where we do our show, Ladies Wrestling Showcase, where we showcase the ladies. We just released an episode where we talked about the top five women of our personal favorites of 2023 and who to look out for in 2024. So you want to go check that out to see who we think is going to take over the indies or just wrestling in general. What else? What else do we have? If you're wanting to watch NJPW, you can go to the link in the description box down below. It's njpwworld.com. It is 999 yen, or approximately 10 Canadian. Sir? 10 Canadian. Shout out to Sean Spears, or more like 950. According to that guy over there, it's still an amazing price to watch some amazing professional wrestling. You can go and watch the World Tag League final that we just talked about, which I highly recommend you do. You can go in there and watch the World Tag League finals from last year, where Bishamon won again.
You and the year before that.
Won before that. And where Steven Bishamon won the first time. Oh, we're funny over here. So you can also see some of the names that have invaded North America and their humble beginnings there, like the Switchblade Jay White. Yes. And, you know, the formation of Juice Robinson, who he was before he became what he is now.
Rock hard.
Oh. Yeah, watch for that shoe. Anyway, Andre, my trusted friend and colleague, do you have anything else to say to the beautiful people?
I just want to thank y'all for checking us out here on our show or on SNME Radio or on Backbreaker Video. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Please like wherever you're listening or watching. Please subscribe. Please comment down below on our channel. We'd really appreciate it. Make sure to leave a review on SNME Radio. And don't forget to hit that notification bell. Oh, and don't forget, share us out, please. Share us. Share us, share SNME, share Backbreaker, share it all. Please, please, please. And hit a notification bell so you can be alerted every time we drop a new video on our channel.
Ding dong.
I'm not answering this late at night.
little late. 10:30. Little late.
Yeah, I'm little late.
Just a little late, a little bit. And that being said, I am your Melball. Over there is Andre. We will see you next time. Adios.